In occasione della sua prima personale italiana a Villa Romana di Firenze, Rosa Barba presenta il suo video They Shine. Suo interlocutore in questa intervista è Jan Werner dei Mouse on Mars. Insieme riflettono sul rapporto tra musica e arti visive, tra suono e immagine, tra cinema e produzioni discografiche. Rosa Barba ci presenta poi i lavori in mostra, spiegando come low tech e narratività si intrecciano nei suoi video.
The shine, he says. All right, but how? How do they shine? They twinkle, they blink, they wink and move.
Alcuni dei suoni che legano l'intervista sono registrazioni ambientali fatte a Villa Romana proprio da Jan Werner per Radio Papesse. L'intervista è in inglese.
Yeah, my name is Rosa Barba.
Well, I do films and mostly my medium is film, like celluloid, and I work a lot with text and text, sound and films maybe, and publications as well.
My name is Jan Werner and I'm a musician. I play in several bands. Yeah, I think that's the best description, in short.
Angelika Stepken invited me for an exhibition, and then we thought also often of a musical event. I mean, we often do things together. So Jan and Andy have provided music for my films, or especially Jan has done lots of soundtracks also for my films. And in this occasion, we thought it could be nice that they play afterward, but it's not a real concert. It will be more like a DJ set after the exhibition. I will present one 35mm installation that I shot last year in the Mojave Desert. I stayed on a residency there in Los Angeles, and I made a research on the Mojave Desert, since this desert is a kind of test field for military and for big companies, and it's changing all the time, the architecture of the desert, and that was what interested me. So I made one piece that can also be a sound piece in a way, because there is one narrator that speaks over one shot of a mirror plant field. What the guy is speaking, actually he is a musician also, Matt Didymus, who speaks the voice. He is speaking about the future of the desert, and I also made interviews with people that live around the desert, what they think about how the architecture will look like in the future, and out of these answers I created this narrative. This is one piece, and the other one is also connected to the Mojave Desert, since I was interested to find out where the meeting point was of the futurist and Dadaist, and Marcel Duchamp was part of it, and they met 1949 somewhere in the Mojave Desert to discuss the future. So there was one location that looked to me that this could have been the place where they met, and I made an abstraction of the meeting. So what you see is a sculpture of two 16mm projectors just illuminating each other, and from each projector you just hear a soundtrack, and one sound is more like a voice and the other one more like a bass, so together it becomes a live concert. Yeah, I'm always in between. Yeah, as a filmmaker or a visual artist, my medium was always film. So I started very early to first shoot on Super 8 and then on 16, and it just stayed my medium. I know how to handle my camera, and then out of this dynamic, somehow it came into the exhibition space as well. And so I was trying to deal with a projector also, like it could be a protagonist, because that's how I usually use my film camera as well, to let it become part of the narrative. And so the projector became also part of the space and was integrated in it. I know exactly what is the result of these analog materials, which I maybe can't really handle it with digital mediums. But also I like this, I usually, when I start my piece, it is always connected to some historical fact or something in the some history that I'm interested in, and out of that I create a fiction. And I like also to confuse between is it something documentary or is it fictive. And with the presence of these projectors, they also give this kind of reality that it could be some archival footage, or actually I never actually use found footage, but they kind of accept the presence that this could be something archival as well. It's always like there is one story that in, like for example with It's Gonna Happen, which is a 16mm, it's projected words, but on the soundtrack you hear a phone conversation of two fictive presidents, and this is leaned on that I imagined how the Watergate affair happened, because there was this one phone call that made it happen or made it go. So I wrote this phone call again, and I like to use the language of science fiction because it makes you exist in many different levels of time. There is not a real hierarchy of future and present, and that's what I like about it. Yeah. I mean, that's also possible. It, in a way, the viewer becomes the editor, and it's choosing in which way he wants to mount the story. But I'm providing some story, but I'm not telling them exactly how to put it together. So it's also it exists in a loop. So sometimes if you see it one time, you think it's too much information, and you just take a few things and maybe that's enough already for you and you go. But if you watch it more times, then there are many more details coming up, especially with this work, it's gonna happen. I do that with a lot of my works, that I put two narratives together, and there is a one narrative that exists only on the soundtrack and the other one that exists in the visual layer. And then they are trying to kind of also disturb each other, and it creates a lot of information. So you can watch it again and again, but you can also, keep things out and make it yours in a different way. I was always interested in cinema, but sometimes this cinema was for me too, like this information in one time, in one layer of time zone was always too much for me. So I started to minimalize things and make abstraction, and to the point when I started to there were no images anymore and I just used text, and there are films where there is only sound, and so I was trying to leave as little as possible. And then when I arrived at that point, I started to work with a second layer, and that's what interests me at the moment the most, to see how much tension I can create between two narratives.
I think in a way, if you take it from an art direction, like from an artistic idea of what you do is art, then it's maybe not that important if it's audio or if it's visual, if it's writing. In a way, you create an idea of the world. I mean, you try to describe that. So it's like a stencil. It's a lot of things are missing and other things are focused. And so it creates like an imperfect, incomplete view on the world. And I'd say that for me is a big quality of art, that I think strong artists, sometimes they're really good in ignoring obvious things, and they really focus on sometimes details which you might not have noticed otherwise. And they create a complete, a very coherent idea of a world in a way. They recreate a world, sometimes a world they see, and they just describe it the way they see it, and it becomes something totally different. And sometimes they construct it all from the memory, from basically out of nowhere. It's like a science fiction thing. Some others, they really paint something as it is, and they paint make a picture of the Villa Romana, which is like a totally different building. It even becomes maybe a creature or It has a personality of its own. And taking that as a definition of art, I'd say it doesn't matter if you make music or if you use images. It comes down to the same thing. And for me, sound is just a more appropriate field to get rid of all these things that bother me or that drive me or that make me nervous, and I feel in sound there's a lot of space for me to do things and also do messy things which are sometimes not that logical. But it could be that you have a visual idea even about it, that in a way it's like, well, you write a story, or it's nearly like you want to tell a story about something, and it's not a linear narrative, and it's not something you can in that sense visualize. So you work on sound. It can be a thought. Sometimes, in my case, I'd say it's nearly something that's more linked to philosophical questions about what it is that we have. It's a big question mark, but it's very detailed. And once you start working on it, there are so many distractions and themes that approach you, that really come close, and you include them into the picture, that it nearly becomes like an architectural construction, no? And of course in my case it's sound, but in Rosa's case it's more visual. But still the gaps, I mean the frontiers are not that clear. Of course there is a clear point where a thing is sound and where another thing is an image and it's projected or it's painted on a canvas, and you can't say it is a canvas but for me it's a piece of music. Of course that's kind of blurring language. I mean that's not the game that I want to play, but I can sometimes see that the urge to create a visual object can be linked to a moment that for someone else could have led to an acoustic work. So I think there is a link, and you can speak about your views or your ideas or your questions even with people who come from totally different disciplines, even scientists. So wherever you have that space actually to create and to try and to experiment, I think there you can discuss certain things. And then it depends on your personality, how you take it back home and how you translate it into work. Some people are really good in doing very useful things. I mean, some scientists, they're quite funny people, and they're really very, they can think very abstract and they're very odd, but they are able to create something that's very useful in the end. We have some friends in Paris who are into fractal systems and tensions and chaotic patterns. And it's amazing. I just saw a piece, one of their latest works, and it's a little paper, very tiny piece of paper cut in a specific shape, and they pour a drop of water on it and it folds. The water, the tension, the surface tension of the water connects with the paper, and it folds in a way that creates a perfect pyramid. And then they experiment and they created other patterns. It's so weird. I mean, and also how they come up with it is definitely very playful. It's very funny. It comes from totally different ideas than a scientific one. But they managed to get it back into the real world and create something very useful that other people can kind of deal with. In art, it's more like you kind of bring things to a stop. Your work is like at the end of a chain of thoughts. And then the perceptor has to unpack it again, you know. It's like has to put it back, like has to take it apart again and see what they can do with it. So in the end, I think, yeah, the start or the urge to create something is very likely not that different. And if I could have become a good painter, I would surely done that rather than making sound. I didn't even start out as becoming a musician. It seemed to be the most the field where I could do least harm, something like that. I think this comes from a problem that we all have as human beings, that you see things in a certain position and you don't understand, or sometimes it's a lot of work to understand how things got to this point. So if you see an image, you see it as an aesthetic result of a process. You can't really relate to the process. What you see is this picture and you think, I'd like to paint a picture like that. You don't think, I want to go through the process that led to a picture like this. And you have that on too many levels, actually. You want to become like, a glamorous person. You want to make music because there's a DJ who's, I don't know, who's entertaining the masses, but the way the DJ got there is something that is that stays hidden. I think if you make music and you have visuals accompanying the music, it can work well if your idea is to use both forms to explain your idea. You need all those elements, maybe even actors and maybe even fireworks and a helicopter and some explosions around it and all these things. If that is your idea, then you have to do this. The problem is that very often think it, the cliche is so strong that you have visuals with music. They think you have to do it that way, like an unwritten rule. But that's, I don't think that is that is that makes sense. I don't think it's very useful to think that way. So I think music is as good as an artwork in itself. I mean, if the music carries all that you want to say, then you don't need any images. And the same thing, a picture doesn't need entertainment. An opening doesn't need a DJ. But it's a different thing. And in this case, I mean, we're going to DJ for the opening of Rosa, but that's more like a friendship thing. It's not an artistic statement to say this exhibition needs a DJ from 9 o'clock on. It's more like it's a family thing and we feel quite comfortable here. And yeah, and so we'll have like a party, kind of like a private party where everyone can come, more like this. But that's not really an artistic statement as such. And I don't really like visuals with music usually, unless they explain something that the music doesn't explain on a certain level, and then you carefully choose how to do that.
I remember, because we have been doing some years ago some live concerts together where I made some loops for their music, and sometimes if I wouldn't go or I couldn't come, then they would just ask, well, we have some VJs here, they have already some stuff on the computer, and which, yeah, it's not really the same if you didn't work together with the music to make this visual. I mean,
sometimes we don't care. If we think it's a context where entertainment is so important that you just give in, you just say, okay, do what you like, we're just a little slot in your program of entertaining the people, and okay, you can't always find, I mean, you can't force your ideas to happen, but of course usually it's a nightmare because it's all based on an idea of entertain people, like take their senses away. Actually, I mean, it's really, the more you bombard them with information, the less they will ask any questions. So I think it's nice to have a concert where there's no visual accomplishment. I mean, nothing that draws your attention away from listening. Actually, I would even like to have concerts sometimes where I don't even see the people perform, because in the end I watch the musician play, and again this changes my view on what I hear. And I'd love to have concerts where you don't see anyone playing, performing, and you just listen. There is so much to listen. I mean, you don't need that, but that's a different question. And you can't be that dogmatic. In the end, like especially with Mouse on Mars, we're very often part of an entertainment industry. But the problem is a bit that, of course, the younger generation, the same thing. They think things have to be like that. You have to have the DJ. You have to have the DJ, the VJ, the band with something, and that's obligatory. And of course it isn't, and sometimes hard to rewind the process and say, like, look, let's start from zero and really think what is really necessary.
I think for me it's very hard to work with music that have lyrics, because then it's already so crowded that I don't know where to put the images. But the tracks that mostly a part of Wipe That Sound, which was more also like, saw it more like another tune, but well, it works very well with that music. There's still space for images and this rhythm that interests me. How to, it's a little bit like doing an editing, then trying to edit the images to the music. Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like providing lyrics for the song with the image. Yeah.
In Rosa's work, for me it's sometimes quite complex, and I couldn't do it that way. It would be too much, even to work with a production team for movies. It seems to be so complicated and so complex to translate your idea to people who do the production team, like the cameraman, and even if there's someone acting, or if you have a location and it's not exactly the way you want it, all these things. I mean, I couldn't deal with it, and I really respect this in a way that you can do this and also make compromises in accordance to your aim. So you know, you make a compromise, but you try to incorporate it into your system. I sometimes find that hard, or it would be more difficult actually for me to do it. So I think the area in which I work is much more, is in a way more synthetic or smaller in that sense, that every detail can be moved and adjusted and replaced at any time. In music, I think that is, music is so patient, it's incredible, and there's hardly anything in your way, and everything is possible. It's simply your imagination or your understanding that limits things. Whereas in the visual world, I feel there are more limits, especially in film. For me, it's also like, it's an incredible art form. I sometimes, when it's
maybe more obstacles sometimes.
In which way? What's an obstacle? I don't know what an obstacle is.
Some things that you have to deal with that you haven't thought of that this could happen. The weather or something you cannot make this flight shoot, and you have to wait. And that, I mean, I think you have to be much more patient, because you said music world is patient, but actually you don't need to wait for any conditions. You can always work.
No. I don't think, I'm not patient at all. I think you're very patient. No, I want really things to happen right now, and if I don't get it, I maybe lose interest, or I do something else, or I replace it with something that I can do. But maybe it's also different if you, I think when you do animation work, it's maybe different. I think the real world is very tough. It's a tough business. Like, to have real people in your movies and a real setting. I think sometimes music is more like, or at least the music that I make or that I'm connected with is more like maybe animations. You immediately draw the images, the characters which are in your movies, and the scenarios, and everything can shift and merge into another thing. Yeah. Anyway, that's a bit too far now. But what I initially wanted to say is that you don't always have that one clear thing. It's a lot of things that you want to bring together in your work. And sometimes it can be even a gesture, it can be a hint towards a certain idea of the future, or even like a kind of a mechanic, a certain mechanic, odd, limited way of claiming the future with all the oddities and the imperfections that you want it to have. You don't want a perfect future, you want it to be odd and sometimes not working, but understandable. I must say, I've always been a fan of records. I really like them. This is the way I learned about new music. So for me, a record, especially a piece of vinyl, but also a CD, represents a whole world. I mean, this was for me, it was always like a book, basically, like how people can go crazy about books, and they just buy more books than they can ever read. And I think I was like this with music, and so for me, making a CD still is a very personal and very honest thing to do. And of course, CDs are easy to produce and to mass produce, and they're really like tools to be sold, a very cheap kind of thing to reach a huge amount of people, possibly. But I still like a single CD as such. I do that. So for me, this can also really represent an artistic idea of creating a coherent statement in a box or in an album. I like this idea of an album. On the other hand, a lot of things I see in the art world sometimes are, to me, seem to be very pretentious, and I'm sometimes very happy I can go back into the studio and produce 45 minutes of music and just give it away as a record, and for a couple of euros you can buy that, and then people can even get it for free if they only want the data of it. I sometimes feel okay with it, quite comfortable, whereas the idea of a single artwork, this kind of artifact that equals a certain amount of money, for me is very absurd. I cannot at all understand why why a Gerhard Richter painting is worth a couple of million euros. I really cannot at all relate to this. So in that sense, true to my purest artistic spirits, I find the CD very, very truthful and still like this. But there are a lot of other things that cannot be expressed in an album or as an MP3 file, and you need space for this. And then I have this respect for filmmakers or artists who can create or can deal with a whole production or bring so many elements together into one visual statement. Like Fellini, for me, was always like a composer, you know. I think the way he was bringing things together is like Wagner, but much more nice, much more playful and much closer to what I like than a Wagner opera.
I expected this to look more scary. They made it that way so that it reflects man's ambitions and wishes. It's like a giant projector that multiplies our emotions and throws them back at us. Like this, it evokes the deepest feelings and makes life glamorous rather than creating a desire. It's a reverse canvas in which you can see yourself and your environment in bright colors. But what is it doing now? It is literally vanishing before our eyes. The cloak simultaneously interacts with all of the wavelengths and colors that make up light, a choreographed effort of synchronicity.